Techno Progressivo, you are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Tonight's episode is all about underground prog house and techno, courtesy of my interview with Quiver ahead of his gig in town, and we will get to that shortly. But first, let's check out this episode's track of the week. Carlo, Leo, and Boris team up here for Hand Clap. Great track of the week there as two powerhouses team up. Carlo, Leo, and Boris deliver a bomb on True Soul, and that can be had anywhere you buy your music. That is Hand Clap. On to the feature for tonight. Ahead of his gig here in town on June the 9th, I was fortunate to be able to interview Quiver. Here we talk about early influences, his label, and his new album coming out later this year. Rockets and Rainbows is a track that gets the ball rolling here. Full track listing and a selection of Quiver web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's check out the first half of the interview. This is DJ Wasp. Speaking to John Graham, a.k.a. Quiver. He's been producing and DJing for over two decades. Highly prolific, he has six pages of tracks on Beatport, releases on Celador, Poker Flat, Bedrock, Tool Room, Yoshitoshi, and his own Control Substance label highlight his list of productions. He's collaborated alongside Dave Seaman, Olivier Giacomoto, Christoph, and remixed John Digweed, Nick Muir, and Hernan Catano, amongst others. His latest track, The Dark Side of Pleasure, dropped in late April and is available on his label, so check that one out. He's toured all over the planet, and we'll be here in Vancouver at a secret location on Friday, June the 9th, and that is what we're here to talk about tonight. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Quiver. So kicking things off here, how would you currently define your sound, and would you say it's evolved over time?
First of all, thanks for having me. Thanks for doing the interview, Mike. Yeah, as far as my sound, I try not to be too genre specific. There's always been a big emphasis on grooves in my tracks, you know, getting the drums and the percussion and the bass line to sit right together is always the most important thing for me. You know, I started out as a drum and bass producer back in the 90s, and I think that kind of had an influence on my sound, the kind of mixture of darkness and light, the contrast of darkness and light. I think it played over into the quiver stuffs. Yeah, that's pretty much the biggest emphasis is always getting the drums and the bass line and the groove to sit right. You know, whether it's most recent stuff kind of sits somewhere between melodic house and tech, in terms of beatbox genres anyway, somewhere between progressive house, melodic house and techno and indie dance recently. It's always kind of somewhere between those genres at the moment.
Okay, going way back in time, you might want to actually apply this question to the drum and bass stuff or any of the early house stuff that you heard. Can you think of two or three tracks that really opened your eyes to electronic music, and what impact did they have on you?
One of the earliest tracks that really caught my attention when I first started going out, this was before I ever started making music, was Joey Beltram, Energy Flash, which was an early 90s track. You know, this is in the days when I just discovered this sound, this you know, the techno and hardcore breakbeats were kind of played by the same DJs, and it was there was house music, there was techno, there was breaks and what they called hardcore breaks back in the day, which became jungle, which became drum and bass. But the whole thing was brand new to me, and I remember that track specifically, Energy Flash, was just it had a big influence on me. Danny Tenaglia's Bottom Heavy also was a big influence on my sound. I mean, by this point, I'd already been producing for a few years, but along similar lines, the Fathers of Sound were also a big influence, and they did a remix on an Eternal track called Power of a Woman. The dub of that was awesome as well, and that also, it was kind of just, you know, it just had a big influence on my sound at the time.
Okay, what do you attribute to your longevity in the industry despite the shifts in musical trends and even the popularity of the music? And you know, something else that does fascinate me here is that when you listen to your body of work, there's not a lot of cheese in there. A lot of these tracks are made specifically for underground dance floor. So with that being the case, what's allowed you to stick around?
I love what I do. I think that's probably the main thing. I'm not particularly good at anything else, so I want to make sure that, you know, that I can keep doing this as long as I can. But I absolutely love what I do. I enjoy making music, and I don't really suffer from writer's block. So, you know, I think as long as I'm still kind of inspired to be creative when I'm in the studio and I enjoy what I'm doing, I think, you know, everything else hopefully will carry on. But, you know, I've managed to stay keen and motivated, so hopefully that'll continue.
Okay, let's take a look at production here. Which DAW are you making your tracks with? And you also did mention earlier on buying a lot of hardware in the early days. Is that still something that you're using, and why or why not?
I switched from Cubase to Pro Tools in the early 2000s. It took me so long to learn how to use Pro Tools. I just can't face learning to use another DAW, so I'm still in Pro Tools, and most of the hardware stuff I either don't use anymore, it's gathering dust, or I've sold it, or it's just it doesn't get used. A couple of things are still plugged in, the Nord and the Virus TI, but they don't get used very much. It's mainly in the box now, so a lot of soft synths and plugins.
Okay, you mentioned earlier on that you don't generally get writer's block when you are making tracks. How do you approach that whole process? Do you have melodies or ideas in your head before you get started, or are you content just to sit at the computer, play around, and see what that leads to?
Yeah, a bit of both, really. Yeah, I mean, it's not that I don't ever get writer's block, but it never lasts very long. I think because I still listen to a lot of music and I get inspired by other people's music. And there's endless sounds and plugins to play around with. Yeah, I can still I still feel motivated enough to come into the studio every day and try and create.
Let's look at your Controlled Substance label. It looks to be around 6 years old. What do you consider is the musical policy for the label, and how has the process of running that been for you?
Well, the label was started basically as an outlet for my music, and we've only released a couple of things with other artists. So at the moment, it's a vehicle for my productions. I'm still working with other labels as well, but Controlled Substance is at the moment predominantly predominantly an outlet for my music.
I'm always curious about producers who have their own labels but then release tracks on other labels. For you, how do you make the call on what's fitting for your label and what actually needs to go out somewhere else?
Well, originally it was kind of the darker sound, the darker stuff that might not appeal to other labels, or maybe slightly left of field, which, you know, if the labels, most labels are looking purely for what's selling, what's the hot sound at the moment, and if something's not kind of aimed specifically at the latest sound or any genre specifically, then they might not be keen to sign it. But there was some tunes that I was really into that I thought would be, maybe not right for certain labels that I was working with. So Controlled Substance was a good way of releasing that kind of darker or slightly more left field sound originally.
Will be dropping a new album this October. What can you tell us about that, and what can you tell us about the connection you made with Amplified.com in the run-up to that release?
Yeah, I just started working with the Amplified guys late last year. It's just their platform. It's a really good way of kind of offering the fans opportunities that wouldn't easily be doable otherwise. It's the way they've got their thing set up. So I can offer pre-sales of the album to existing fans, and we came up with some cool opportunities for fans to get more involved with the album process. Things like, you know, if you order early enough, you can get your name on the thank yous and stuff. If you order early enough, you can get a signed copy of the vinyl or a CD or whatever, or t-shirts or stuff like that. So for the really hardcore fans who are really supporting the album process, there's some nice bonus things that you couldn't easily offer otherwise. The Amplified guys have been really cool, and they've been coming up with some ideas. I mean, you know, one idea they had was for people to, we were going to do an auction for people who wanted to name a track. You know, people can actually name some of the tracks on the album. It's just cool. It's just coming up with ideas that are a little bit different to the sort of stuff you'd usually be thinking about with an album.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Are listening to the Quiver interview on Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah, and the station is 101.9 CITR. His collaboration with Olivier Giacomodo, Snail Blazer, closed out that half of the interview. Altered is the lead track for the next part. Full track listing and a selection of Quiver web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's check out more of what Quiver had to say. Okay, let's take a look at DJing here. What's the setup that you like to use when you are performing, like CDJs or Traktor, anything else along those lines? And then when you're doing that, how do you approach programming your sets?
I'm pretty old school, man. It's usually two or three decks. I'll have a rough idea of the direction the set's going to go, you know, which tracks are going to sound good together. So there's a vibe running through the set. You know, I usually start quite deep and get kind of, you know, just gradually build the set over however many hours it is. I've never got a specific idea of exactly which track I'm going to play next or which order I'm going to play the tracks in. And no, I don't use any samplers when I'm DJing. I don't play any stem stuff apart from the occasional a cappella. But yeah, you know, pretty standard really. All right, let's consider 20 plus years of DJing gigs. When you look back on things, can you recall any events that have really stood out for you or possibly anything that you're really looking forward to in the upcoming festival or summer season? I'm really looking forward to going back to Denver because I played there New Year's Day, not the one just gone, the one before, and it was a really great gig. So I'm looking forward to going back to that place in June. But it's always nice to go back to the USA. I just renewed my 01 visa because I was living in LA for 10 years and we moved back to the UK like 5 years ago and had to give up my green card. So I just got the work visa renewed, so I can finally go back and play the USA again. So I'm pretty excited about that generally. I love playing Argentina. It's always great down there. The people are amazing. I love going to Tokyo just because it's like going into the future. I love Mexico. It's great. I've always had good parties in Mexico. Budapest is another place I love playing. Yeah, Glastonbury Festival. I've played there like 10 or more times over the years, so that's always good. There's a lot of places I love playing there.
Okay, let's look at your body of work here. When you consider all the tracks that you've made over time, can you think of one or two that really stand out for you as the absolute best you've made, and why?
There's an old one, it's an old Quiver remix, fairly old, which was Tilt featuring Maria Naylor, the Quiver remix of that. The track's called Angry Skies. That's my favorite track from back in the day that I did. Probably my best remix I've done. Tilt and Maria Naylor, Angry Skies, Quiver remix would be the big one for me.
Okay, then probably equally challenging here. Can you think of one or two producers that you really admire and why? And these can be people you've worked with or would like to work with or people that you've never worked with at all.
Well, I just did a collaboration with Olivier Giacomotto and I've been playing his stuff on my Controlled Substance DJ mix show for years. He's probably the most featured artist on the show. So it was finally good to work with him. I just love his sound. He's just got this big, fat sound. It's kind of slightly dark. It's not a million miles away from my sound, which I guess is why I played so much of his stuff, because it's pretty, you know, we obviously think along similar wavelengths. I would say he's been a big influence, and it was really cool to work with him on Snail Blazer.
Breaking out of the asylum.
Okay, peering into that crystal ball here, can you tell me what your vision for yourself as you continue to go forward in production and DJing is?
Just keep doing it, really. Stay keen, stay motivated, and make more albums as well. It's nice to be able to... I'm doing an album at the moment, as we talked about, and it's nice to be able to go in different directions, which an album allows you to do, or allows me to do. It's nice to not have to make, you know, 7 or 8 minute DJ tracks over and over again. Basically, it's nice to be able to make tracks that are slightly different, that wouldn't necessarily get played by DJs in clubs, but are nonetheless great home listening or car listening or going for a walk or in the gym listening tracks, you know. So it's making albums is definitely something I want to do more of.
Okay, and then thinking conceptually about making an album, before you get started, do you kind of plot out the direction that all of the tracks are intended to go, or do you just make tracks and think, hey, I think that would fit in the album? What's the approach that you take to that?
Yeah, pretty much exactly how you said it. Yeah, I've been making a lot of music recently, and every now and again I'm like, that's an album track. that's not going to get released as a single. That's going to be on the album. And there is kind of a thread with the Revelate album that I did 2 years ago on Bedrock. That it was the same thing. There was probably about 14 tracks that I was looking at to finish for the album, and whittled it down to 10 in the end, because the others just didn't quite flow with the rest of the album tracks. So yeah, I don't necessarily go in the studio aiming to make an album track, but sometimes, you know, yeah, I'll get so far along and think this needs to be put to one side.
This has been Quiver. A selection of Quiver tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Spotify, Juno Download, Amplified, and Bandcamp. As well, a full list of his web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Remember to get down to a secret location on Friday, June the 9th to catch him live, and tickets for that event are still available online. Thank you very much for doing this.
travesty of time. And now, we're atomized. That's the price. And now, we're atomized.
A stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Quiver for agreeing to interview ahead of his gig in town on June the 9th. Some truly great underground prog house and techno on his resume. A really broody vibe all throughout. Atomized was the track that closed out the interview. Full track listing and a selection of Quiver web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page, so head on over there to find out more about the mind behind the music. If you've enjoyed the show and want to listen to it again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at citr.ca, Apple Podcasts, or SoundCloud to hear this one again, or more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's track from the past. For this one, let's go back 16 years in time to 2007. This is Nick Warren's remix of Shiloh's Cafe del Mariachi. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here next time.